Now at Menards, save big on everything for your landscaping project. Whether you're shopping for edgers, pavers, or wall blocks, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Plus, get fast free estimates when you use our landscape design program available in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on landscape blocks when you shop at Menards. Also, check out the great deals from our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish your outdoor wood projects with Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Australian Timber Oil is an exterior stain that provides maximum penetration, durability, and water repellency, making it ideal for decks, siding, outdoor furniture, and more. Save big money at Menards on Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies. Thank you so very much for taking the time to listen. I do appreciate you. And as always, feel free to reach out, Jeff, at beekeepingfornewbies.com. That's N-E-W-B-E-E-S.com. Also, don't forget to check out our exclusive content. If you sign up for the exclusive content, you're going to get access to all episodes. This is going to have no commercials on anything. You'll get early release on everything that I put out. And there's also an opportunity in there to get a couple of calls with me every year in case you're running into a bind and you need a hand with something. And it helps us support the channel and invest in all the cool things that we're trying to do here. So I appreciate you in advance, especially all of you who are already members of the exclusive content. For all of you who have bought me a cup of coffee, I definitely appreciate everything that you all have done for me. So thank you. Today we're doing episode 60. This is going to be all about the hive beetles. And, you know, I kind of feel like I failed everybody on this one, and this is not like a small thing. This is kind of a big deal. As I was going through all the episodes over the years, kind of trying to figure out where I can fill in the gaps and where I can try to figure out like an episode idea where we can, you know, cover things that we haven't covered before. And I went through everything and I realized, oh crap, you know, we've talked about hive beetles. We've kind of skimmed the surface of them, but we really haven't dug in all that deep to it. So today we're going to go through all of that. We're going to talk about the life cycle. We're going to talk about the kind of damage they do, some treatment options. There are going to be a ton of links in this video to products, things that I'm going to discuss today, where you can find things, videos that are good reference material. So be sure to check out the description, go through those links, and get that extra information because it's going to be pretty useful. Now, before we really dive into everything today, I wanted to send a quick thank you to the Southern Adirondack Beekeepers Association. So these folks are based out of New York, absolutely beautiful part of the country. If you've never been there, you got to get up to the Adirondacks. I was very fortunate years ago. I had a small business and I was able to co-sponsor a group of Purple Heart recipients in the Adirondack Mountains for a big hunting trip that they did up there. It was an amazing experience, but the area is absolutely beautiful. But I was just kind of browsing around online looking for resources on things. And I was looking up the podcast specifically, trying to figure out, you know, where we can kind of expand a little bit and look at other advertising opportunities and things. And I came across a link that they have on their website recommending us as a podcast resource. So again, special thanks to the Southern Adirondack Beekeepers Association. Next here, I wanted to send a special shout out and hello to a young lady in the UK, in Wales. So Bella, thank you so much for listening to the podcast with your dad. Thank you for jumping into the beekeeping hobby early. I wish I had done the same thing myself. So I hope everything is going well for you and your family. You're doing great in, well, you're not probably not in school right now, but I hope you're enjoying the summer and having a good time. And we'll look forward to hearing more updates from your dad on things that are going on with you and your beehive. So take care of yourself, and we'll look forward to catching up with you soon. Okay, so what is the small hive beetle? The small hive beetle is a beetle. It shows up in your hive, and it's small. So when you first see it, you know, I remember like first year beekeeping, this little beetle showed up, and I'm thinking to myself, I think that might be the little beetle I've read about, but there's no other beetles that are going to show up in your hive. I mean, I can't think of anything, you know, when you look at like wax moth is going to show up, you might have other insects that are trying to rob or come in from the entrance to do whatever it is they want to do. But as far as things that actually get inside the hive, if it's not some kind of a larvae of the wax moth or something else, there's not a lot of other things you would see. So if you see a tiny black beetle, and for those of you watching, not listening, but if you're watching via YouTube, I'll put up a nice picture that you can see. But it is a small little black beetle. Now, these beetles are not originally native to the U.S. They co-evolved with African honeybees, and we've had them here in the U.S. now for several decades. Now, the African bees, or the ones here in the U.S. that are Africanized, they actually do a pretty good job of managing small hive beetle. And we'll talk about some of the management stuff as we get further into it. But some of the traits and characteristics of the hive beetle is they're very elusive. It's kind of like if you've ever seen or been somewhere, I'm laughing. It's all right. I'm going to go on quick sidebar here. So when I was a kid, my mother and I, my parents got divorced and my mother and I were living together in this townhouse. It was a nice townhouse. It was a nice neighborhood, but there was like crappy construction. Like the construction of the homes, those townhouses didn't have like modern day dividers between each of the townhouses. I'm sorry, I can't help. So when I was growing up, we had roaches, like cockroaches that lived in our townhouse in this home. We didn't bring them there. We didn't live dirty. We didn't live nasty. It's just that they could literally go under the wall from our townhouse and go right next door to the neighbors. They could just go back and forth. So every time that we sprayed, the bugs would just go through the walls to the next door neighbor's house, hang out over there for a little while and come back in a few weeks. So it's just a weird sidebar there. But if you've ever turned on a light or you've seen a video or a picture or something somewhere where the lights go on and the cockroaches scatter, like that's what hive beetles will do. So you turn the lights on and by opening up the hive and they're going to start going in all different directions. Now, when you just look at them, you just think, okay, it's a little beetle. Like what's the big deal, right? So they're very resilient. They can live, 6 months or more inside the hive. You can have several overlapping generations of them within a season inside your hives. The adults are strong flyers. They can easily disperse to other hives. They can travel with swarms. And worst of all, they can actually overwinter inside the hive, inside the cluster with your bees. Now, the one thing I'm sure everybody wants to hear about is what do they do? What kind of damage do they do in the hive? And we're going to get to that. But before I do, I want to talk about the life cycle. I want to talk about how they go through their development. So they pupate in the ground. So they will emerge from the ground as a beetle and they'll go into a hive. They can fly into the hive. They can just walk up the stand into the hive. They're, again, with that darker color, really easy for them to walk in at night without being seen. A lot of times they'll walk by in the day and they'll just scurry through real quick and try to get to a hiding spot as fast as they can. So once they're in the hive, they have a couple of primary goals. They want to get a snack for themselves. Obviously, they want to eat, but their goal is to reproduce as quickly as possible. They will lay eggs in brood. They'll lay it in honey, in nectar, pollen, anything that they can get into that is a food source. They will absolutely use that as a space or a place for them to lay eggs. They'll lay it inside with brood. Again, they'll lay it anywhere. And in addition to all the places where bees are keeping things that they like to lay eggs, they'll also go into like cracks and crevices and things and hide in little spots that the bees can't reach, and they'll lay their eggs in there. So when the hive is nice and warm in the summertime, it's like a giant incubator for hive beetle larvae and hive beetle eggs. So depending on where they've laid their eggs will dictate what's first affected by the young larvae that eventually develop from those eggs. But they're like little tiny worms. They're really small and they will grow rapidly and they will decimate everything. They will tear up and destroy honey. Again, wherever they are, they will just eat their way through everything. Ultimately, what they'll do is once they've fully developed and they've eaten everything they can, they'll walk out the door, hit the ground, dig a hole for themselves into the ground, and then that's where they'll stay for like 3 to 5 weeks as they pupate to become an adult hive beetle. Now, inside the hive, it's actually really, really cool. And, we talk about this a lot when it comes to different diseases and different pests and robbing and all these other things. We always say, if you have a strong colony, they can handle themselves against most issues. They can fix and resolve a lot of problems just by their strength alone. Managing hive beetles is the same thing. Like I didn't have big problems with hive beetles early on when I was just managing a couple of hives and I was trying to do everything I could to keep them strong. I saw the beetles, but they weren't really an issue to me. And I was hearing people tell stories about all these bad things that happened with them and, you know, with the beetles. And I just wasn't seeing that. And then you get a few weak hives, you do some splits that end up not being, you know, as strong going into the summer as some of the larger colonies are. And then you get to see firsthand how bad they can be. But with a strong colony, it's really a super cool thing to see. The workers inside the hive, they will chase the hive beetles into corners and crevices and basically kind of lock them in. They will get a couple of workers to sit there and not let them out of that corner, and they will propolize them into these little beetle jails. And once they get it sealed up, they'll go away. So they do a good job. I've seen some videos and some pictures with a bunch of honeybees just sitting right across the top bar on a frame, and they're guarding from the hive beetle. So the hive beetle tries to come over and get to the inside of that frame, and they're like, nope, you can't come in here. So they do a lot to protect and defend themselves, even once the hive beetle's inside the colony. But if it's a smaller, weaker colony, it doesn't have the available resources to do that, and that's when things get kind of bad. Now, there is a piece of good news for those of you if you're in northern climates. The hive beetles, obviously, they can be very problematic during the season, but if you're in a northern climate, when they go to the soil, into the ground to pupate, the cold weather, the extreme cold, will actually kill them off in the ground, so you won't get that next generation. But you do still have to be mindful of the fact that they can survive, you know, for about 6 months or so inside the cluster, inside the hive. So that's always a challenge. So, but if you're managing them effectively, they shouldn't be able to get to a point where they're out of control. But one thing I do want to mention, it just kind of popped into my head, and I don't even have it in my notes, but they will feed, like I said, they'll feed on anything. They'll feed on brood, they'll feed on honey, nectar, pollen, whatever they can get to, they will eat it. And that also goes for pollen patties, sugar syrup, any of those things that they can get to. I've seen them go into pollen patties and then lay their eggs in the pollen patties. And then you come back like a week later. I mean, it happens fast. It only takes a few days for those eggs to go to larvae. And you come back and there's these little tiny worms. It's all they look like, little miniature caterpillars, basically climbing all over the place. So if I have to feed and you decide you want to use a pollen patty in the summertime when it's nice and warm, keep small pieces. Don't put massive amounts on. Spread them apart. Like if you're going to put, let's say you have an entire patty, maybe you split it into like four sections and put them across the top bars of a couple of frames. But put them in a place where it's easy for you to get them off when you're done with them if they don't eat them. But don't leave them on for more than a couple days. You know, put down whatever your bees can eat in like 2 to 3 days and no more. Because they will get in there, they will use it as a feeding and breeding ground, and then it's all over.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish your outdoor wood projects with Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Australian Timber Oil is an exterior stain that provides maximum penetration, durability, and water repellency, making it ideal for decks, siding, outdoor furniture, and more. Save big money at Menards on Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Now at Menards, save big on everything for your landscaping project. Whether you're shopping for edgers, pavers, or wall blocks, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Plus, get fast free estimates when you use our landscape design program available in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on landscape blocks when you shop at Menards. Also, check out the great deals from our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Now, I want to chat real quick about some treatment options and methods. There are a ton of things out there. There are more of them that keep popping up on a regular basis. And I'm going to have links to videos and a couple of product links. Full disclosure, I may have an Amazon link or two. I've literally never made anything from an Amazon affiliate link or whatever. But I'm going to put those links in here to link to some Amazon things just so you can get to them really quickly. I don't care where you buy it. Buy it from wherever you like to buy from, wherever you're happy with. Just go with that. But the one video that I thought was really funny, and it's a guy, he calls himself the Bug Farmer on YouTube, and he came up with what he calls the BS 5000, and this is the Beetle Sucker 5000. It's a small handheld vacuum. And I think it's originally designed to be like a car detailing vacuum, But he takes this little vacuum and he does some modifications to it. It's a cool video. And there's been like, I've seen at least 6 or 7 different videos of people making something similar with the exact same product. It's again, I'll link it. It's in Amazon, on Amazon for about $25 or $30. And he opened up his hive with, again, with these adaptations he made to it, turns it on, and he just starts sucking beetles up with it. Just, I mean, and he goes through his entire apiary. I'm not going to give it away, but at the end of the video, I think he like spelled the number of hive beetles that he had captured with the BS-5000. And it's 4 digits. If I remember correctly, it was 4 digits. So again, you know, you want to try to trap them and capture them and kill them any way you can. But if you can go in there, and I think he had like about 10 or 12 hives, if you can go in there and you can catch whatever that number is using the BS-5000 or your own version of it, that is definitely something you might want to consider putting into your toolkit. The next thing was I saw a gentleman who did a video and he was talking about some research that had been done. I want to say it was maybe University of Georgia, but it was some specific research around hive beetles and treatment methods. And this guy, he made reference to Dr. Lewis Bartlett and apparently Bob Binney. So if you guys don't know Bob Binney, I mean, there's probably like 6, 7, 8 guys and gals, maybe 10 guys and gals who are kind of like the godfathers and godmothers of beekeeping, you know, and there's great people out there. It's a great community. Like maybe they talk smack about me behind my back. I don't know. I've never talked bad about anybody in the community. I've never heard them talk bad about me or anybody else. It's a really cool community. And Bob Binney's one of those guys, man. He's been keeping bees forever. He's a great resource. By all means, check out his site and his information, everything he puts out. But you got him and Dave Burns and Cayman Reynolds and Randy Oliver and, you know, University of Guelph, Paul Kelly. There's so many great people out there. But anyway, Bob Binney, I guess, had interviewed this Dr. Lewis Bartlett, and I have not seen the interview, but that might be something worth checking out as they discussed some of the methods around catching and kill, well, specifically killing the hive beetle. But what this guy in his video recommended was GrubX by Scotts. So, you know, Scotts is a big, in the US here, Scotts is a big brand of, you know, like lawn care products and things like that. So this guy puts some of that down on the ground, you know, in front of and around his hives, kills the grubs, works really well. And he says that he rotates the brand. So he might use Scotts for a season and the next year use a different brand and just rotate it every couple of years just to kind of keep something different in the soil so that there's no possibility of them getting used to whatever he's putting in there. So that, I think, is a great idea, great option. I will put, again, a link to that. So the next option we'll talk about is oil traps. And I've done a video about that, but they're basically traps that are probably, I don't know, maybe 8 inches long. You put a little bit of some oil in them. I buy like the Great Value Walmart brand, generic vegetable oil, whatever the cheapest stuff is. You fill it to about a third to halfway up, drop those near the edges of your hive, put, you know, the beetles will tend to move up and they go to corners. So they're not going to be just limited to the brew chamber, but I usually try to put at least 2 of them per box, and then I put them in the upper corners, and that seems to work fairly well. Those are a pain in the butt. I've used them for years, and they work, but they're a pain in the butt. It's really easy. I fill them outside the hive. That way, you know, if you spill or make a mess, it doesn't end up inside the hive, but it's really easy for those to spill and get on the bees and kill whatever bees it spills on. And they're just kind of gross. They have also the ones I just mentioned are called beetle blasters, and they're disposable. You pull them out, you throw them away, you go back and, you know, put a new one in later on. There is another version of it, and I can't think of the name off the top of my head, but it is a reusable one. So it's basically the similar concept, but it has little clips that hook onto the frame. You put them inside the hive, you fill it up, and then, you know, you come back, you know, a week or two later, open it up, empty it, clean everything out, spray it, and then you put it back in again and kind of lather, rinse, repeat. So I think that's a great option. I've heard several people comment on those and how happy they are with them. And of course, you're also not throwing away a bunch of plastic into the landfill. So that's always a plus if you can do a little bit more for the environment there. Another one that's become a little bit more popular lately, and I've been hearing a lot of discussion around, is peppermint. People will actually buy, like, whatever. I think generic brand is fine. I don't think it has to be a name brand, but they'll buy like regular Starlight peppermints, and put them in a couple of places inside the hive. I think they break them down into maybe quarters or thirds and put them in different pieces around the hive. Apparently the honeybees like them too, so they'll kind of try to take a little drink of them if they can. But the apparently the hive beetles don't like them. So I think that might be more of a deterrent. I haven't used them myself, but more of a deterrent. But I like the things that are a little more aggressive and kind of take them out of the fight. So we'll talk some more about that here in a minute. So next on the list is Swiffer pads. This is, again, another one that I haven't used myself. But, you know, if you've ever used the Swiffer mops, they have the replacement pads. And that's the actual pad that, you know, that makes contact with the floor that you use when you're cleaning. People have said that they put those inside the hive. And basically what happens is the hive beetles have little kind of little barbs on their feet that they use to hold on, you know, when they're walking around. And those barbs get hooked into the Swiffer pads, and that they get locked in there and they can't move and they die. So that's another option. We talked about the grub killer on the ground. Another thing that I've heard people talk about is entrance traps, like an actual trap that as the beetles are walking through, they fall into or they get trapped. And that's that. I've heard a lot of people say that those are not very effective. The beetles don't always walk directly through that path. They'll go left, right, or above, and it's just not as effective. So it's an option, but I don't think it's necessarily the best option. Now, I have a note here, and this is a new one too. I will try to track down the link to the gentleman's video, but he uses the Dixie H700, Dixie H700 disposable towels. He buys a box of 150 of them. And I think that, I mean, he gave the pricing and all the information in the video, but they're not that expensive. He lays them in these strips across the top of the hive and then closes everything up. And he just comes back and swaps them out when they get full of beetles. It's the same concept as the Swiffer. It's just, again, you know, long strips of towels. Again, if I can find a picture or whatever, as I'm going through editing, I'll try to get something up into the video so you can kind of get an idea of what I'm talking about. Now, another cool option, this is one that I'm not sure if I would do this or not. I guess it would depend on how big of a problem that I had. But you can deploy what's called nematodes, N-E-M-A-T-O-D-E-S. So this is a type of roundworm. Now, the two that are recommended for small hive beetle are Heterohabditus indica and Steinernema ryobrave. Easy for me to say. So these are naturally occurring, soil-dwelling, ambush predators that feed on a wide variety of turf and citrus pests. So one cautionary note that I would give you is, you know, we have a lot of things, particularly here in the U.S., and I'm sure it's happening all over the world, but we have a lot of invasive species, whether it be plants, animals, fish. I would do a little bit of research up front that if you wanted to go down this path, which I think it's really cool, it's something that is natural that would take care of the problem and probably relatively cost effective. I did some research online. It wasn't that expensive. You just don't want to be introducing something into your local area, into your ecosystem that could have greater impacts and ramifications. So just do a little bit of research up front before you go that route. But I like it. It's an all-natural route. It's worth trying. Now, I'm hoping that I've saved the best for last. Now, this last treatment method is, I'm hoping it's going to be the go-to solution moving forward for me. I was digging around trying to find a new solution, trying to find something different. I was a little bit worn out with the beetle blaster trap things, and I was just trying to see if I could find something new. And again, I mentioned him earlier, Cayman Reynolds. If you don't know Cayman, again, very active in the bee community. Definitely check out his YouTube channel. Lots of good information. But he was doing a video on this beetle trap that he had come across. And he was talking about how they basically use a bait that looks very similar to a pollen patty. And the pollen patty is basically laced with boric acid. And they've done enough of the research to figure out, you know, what concentration can they put into this trap that will not negatively impact the honeybees, has no effect on the bees, but will still kill the hive beetles. So the research has been done. They've got the product out there. You can order it as just the traps and the bait separately, or you can order them pre-baited. I went ahead and just bought the ones that were pre-baited. So you just throw them right in the hive and you're done. But if you want to check that out, it's shbtrap.com. I'm in no way affiliated with them. I don't receive any compensation or affiliate stuff or anything like that. I just think it's a product that has a lot of potential. I know Cayman's trying them out. I've got them planned for my hives for next year. So I'm not going to have any information for you this year on them. But again, if I hear from him or anybody else, I will definitely let you know. But like I said, it's reloadable. You just need to rebait them again the following season. And I think that's got a lot of promise. It's supposed to kill them. I think it's something like within 3 days or so, your hive should be completely beetle free. So if it can deliver on that, it's worth every penny. I think I spent $30 for pre-baited traps, and that was a 10-pack. So $3 a trap, maybe. Worth every penny, in my opinion. Well, I think I'm going to try and wrap things up here for the day. Like I said, the small hive beetle, it's something that I've been meaning to talk about for a while, and I'm hoping that this information is really useful for you. If you're finding it, for those of you listening on YouTube, if you find this to be useful, please consider liking the video, subscribe, share it with your friends. If we missed something, drop a comment below. Let us know where we missed out and things that we can do better. And like I said before, having a strong colony and maintaining that colony the way that you need to take care of them and preserve and protect them is a critical component to everything. As long as you're doing everything you need to do as a beekeeper, the chance of these things becoming overwhelmingly problematic is much, much lower than it is if you're not doing your job. So make the commitment to your bees, take good care of them, love them, and they'll love you. But that's all I got for you today, everybody. So take care, be kind to one another, and remember, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We'll talk to you soon.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Now at Menards, save big on everything for your landscaping project. Whether you're shopping for edgers, pavers, or wall blocks, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Plus, get fast free estimates when you use our landscape design program, available in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on landscape blocks when you shop at Menards. Also, check out the great deals from our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.